Hi there, Greg Van Beek. This is Nancy O'Dell, and I wanted to say congratulations on 500 episodes of Nostalgia Radio Time. That is awesome. And you're also celebrating 10 years. I mean, that's quite the anniversary. Very impressive, Greg. I love me some oldies but goodies.
Once I had a secret love. Ha, I'm Lori Morgan, and if you love pop standards as much as I do, you'll want to tune in each week to Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Go, Joe, go!
Hi everyone, this is Katie Couric, and I want to welcome you to one of my favorite programs, Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Thank you, Katie, and welcome to program number 609 of Nostalgia Radio Time. We've got a great group of songs lined up for this week, so let's get right to it. We begin with Nat King Cole from 1964 and Let True Love Begin.
When you're young, you're afraid of the dark. Then you grow up unafraid of the dark. So, darling, when I kiss you and your heart goes in a spin, don't be afraid, let true love begin. Oh, when you're alone, you're afraid that it's true. Love won't come, it won't happen to you. So to let this chance for happiness go by, 'twould be a sin. Don't be afraid, let true love begin. I know the feeling that you're feeling is new, and your heart still wants to hide this feeling that sends you reeling. I'm feeling too. It's love, it cannot be denied. So take my hand, I'll always be at your side. There's no need for you to hide. So listen to your heart that's telling you from deep within, don't be afraid, let true love begin. Don't be afraid, let true love begin. Don't be afraid, let true love begin.
The smooth voice of Nat King Cole kicking off this week's edition. If you have any songs you'd like me to play or old-time radio shows you'd like featured on the program, send your request to nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com. And while you're online, be sure to check us out on our social media outlets on Facebook and Twitter. And if you happen to have an interest in antique radios, maybe you'd like to acquire one for your own collection, one that's fully restored and functional. Now I've got many with Bluetooth capability. Check out my website at www.radioattic.com/Van Beek. That's all one word, V-A-N-B, two E's and a K. And I've got some great sets available for you. Up next, we've got Sammy Davis Jr. from 1963, and he's got a lot of living to do.
There are girls just ripe for some kissing, and I mean to kiss me a few. Oh, those girls don't know what they're missing. I've got a lot of living to do. And there's wine already for tasting, and there's Cadillacs all shiny and new. Gotta move, 'cause time is a-wasting.
lot of living to do. There's music to play, places to go, and people to see. Everything for you and me. Life's a ball if only you'd know it, and it's all waiting for you. You're alive, so come on and show it. There's such a lot of living to do. Such a lot of living to do. Why, there's music to play, places to go, and people to see. Everything for you and me. Life's a ball if only you know it, and it's all just waiting for you. Such a lot of living, such a lot of living to do.
Feel like I'm clinging to a cloud I can't understand. I get misty just holding your hand. Walk my way, and a thousand violins begin to play. Or it might be the sound of your hello, that music I hear. I get misty the moment you're near. You can say that you're leading me on, but it's just what I want you to do. Don't you notice how hopelessly I'm lost? That's why I'm following you. On my own, would I wander through this wonderland alone, ever knowing my right foot from my left, my hat from my glove? I'm too misty and too much in love. My right foot from my left, my hat from my glove. I'm too misty and too much in love. Look at me.
Since the passing of Tony Bennett, Johnny Mathis remains the last of a dying breed, the last of the pop singers from the 1950s still out there performing, still recording. In fact, there's a concert that was posted on YouTube of Johnny from the day after Tony passed away. This is July 22nd of this year, and Johnny did that song, Misty, which he originally recorded in 1959, with the exact same arrangement in 2023, sounding exactly the same. It's incredible. I would highly recommend you check out that video. Even more so, if Johnny happens to be in your area and you have an opportunity to see him perform, don't walk, run to get the tickets. You won't regret seeing this wonderful artist. He's still in fine form, and on September 30th, he'll turn 88 years young. Just incredible. Up next, we've got Joe Stafford going back to 1944 with Long Ago and Far Away.
pictures of the smiles we left behind, smiles we gave to one another for the way we were.
Joe Stafford from 1944 and Barbara Streisand from 1973 with The Way We Were. Now we've got Connie Francis going back to 1960 with Where the Boys Are on Nostalgia Radio Time.
Where the boys are.
From his 1957 album, Lewis and the Angels, that was Louis Armstrong with And the Angels Sing. It's Bing Crosby time, our Bing Sings feature for the week, and we've got Bing going back to 1952 with Everybody Loves My Baby.
Everybody loves my baby, but my baby don't love nobody but me. Nobody but me. Everybody wants my baby, but my baby don't want nobody but me. That's plain to see. She's got a form like Venus, honest, I ain't talking Greek. No one can come between us. She's my Sheba and I'm a sheik. Everybody loves my baby, but my baby don't love nobody but me. Nobody but me. Kisses me upon my rosy cheeks. I just let them kisses be. Don't wash my face for weeks. Everybody loves my baby, but my big fat baby don't love nobody but me. Nobody but me.
Time now for Old Time Radio Time. It's here in the show where we give a listen to a complete radio broadcast from radio's golden age. This week we're going back to October 18th of 1945 and tuning into the Burns and Allen Show with their special guest, a young Les Paul.
It's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. Maxwell House, America's favorite coffee, brings you a new series of programs featuring the domestic adventures of that lovable Mr. and Mrs. George and Gracie, with yours truly, Bill Goodwin, the Les Paul Trio, and the music of Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. Well, the doorbell at the Burns House just sounded, and Gracie is opening the front door to admit an old friend.
Good morning, Mrs. Burns. Here's your mail.
Well, thank you, Mr. Postman. And how are you this lovely day?
Oh, simply glorious, Mrs. Burns. The crisp tang of this fall air fills me with the joy of living. A voice within me cries out, "You're alive! You're alive!"
Oh, yes. And you are, too.
It's a shame that on such a magnificent day I should bring you such dreadful news. Oh, poor Mr. Wilson.
Poor Mr. You mean Meredith Wilson?
Yes, such a nice man. And so young, too.
But what is it? Is Meredith ill?
I'm afraid it's even worse.
Oh, Mr. Postman, you don't mean...
Yes, he's going to get married.
Married? Meredith? Is he going to marry?
I don't know. Some girl.
Oh, how wonderful. That's what he always wanted, to marry. Oh, this is thrilling, Mr. Postman, but it's almost unbelievable. Meredith is so shy and bashful. He's so afraid of a woman.
Wait till he gets married. He doesn't know what fear is yet.
Mr. Postman, you shouldn't be so dead set against marriage just because yours turned out so, well, shall we say, unfortunately?
Yes, let's say that. It's mild, but let's say it.
Well, I think marriage is wonderful, and I've been married for 10 years, half my life.
Really?
Certainly. And Meredith will be happy, too. No one was ever meant to go through life alone, Mr. Postman. There's a mate somewhere for everyone.
I suppose that's true.
Well, of course it is. Every human being on Earth should marry another human being.
I guess that's where I made my mistake.
Oh, well, I've got to rush in now and tell my husband the big news. He'll be just as excited as I am.
Well, goodbye, Mrs. Burns. Remember, keep smiling.
What's the excitement?
Oh, I just heard the most thrilling news. Guess who's getting married? Meredith Wilson.
Meredith Wilson?
Uh-huh.
Gosh, that's wonderful. But how did he ever propose? I didn't think he had nerve enough to talk to a girl.
Judge, a man doesn't have to talk when he proposes to a girl.
No?
Well, of course not. All he has to do is get down on his knees. If he doesn't pull out a pair of dice, she knows what he wants.
I guess so. Well, gee, this is great news.
Isn't it? Oh, I'm so excited. I just love weddings. George.
Yes?
Let's get married.
Gracie, we are married.
I know. I mean again. Lots of people do, just for the fun of it.
Oh, Gracie, you mean buy a license and everything?
Well, sure. I'll give you the $2 again.
It isn't that. It's kind of silly.
Oh, but, George, it'll be much more fun getting married this time. After all, the first time I hardly knew you.
Yeah, we were strangers.
Sure. But now I regard you as practically one of the family.
Thanks, kid. Now forget it. Only Meredith is getting married, not us.
Oh. Well, all right, dear. Maybe it's better that way because then you can sing.
You mean sing at Meredith's wedding?
Well, certainly. What could be more inspiring to a young couple starting on life's great adventure than the sound of your golden voice singing, I love you truly.
I love you truly. Truly, dear. Life with its sorrow. Life with its fear.
Oh, you're perfect for a wedding. Perfect. That voice has orange blossoms in it.
I love you truly. Orange blossoms in it, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I can smell every note.
Well, come on. Let's go over and we'll tell Bill Goodwin the news.
Take me there on wings of song, sugar throat.
I love you truly.
Well, George and Gracie, come in.
Well, Bill, we've come to tell you the most wonderful news.
What is it?
Well, something that's going to make two people blissfully happy. George, give them a hint.
I love you truly. Truly, dear.
No, it'd never work, George. There's too much difference in our ages.
Wilson is going to get married to a girl.
Meredith Wilson? Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't believe it, Gracie. He's never even kissed a girl.
Well, Bill, all men aren't as forward as you. George didn't kiss me right away either.
That's right.
In fact, I remember the first time George kissed me. We'd been back from our honeymoon about a week.
Then... Forget it. Forget it.
Well... Believe me, Meredith is even shyer than George. You know, I double dated with him one night, and when the girl said, what'll we do? I said, let's go up on Observatory Hill where it's nice and dark and count the stars.
What happened?
Meredith got up to 2,400,000.
I'll bet you weren't counting stars, huh, Bill?
Shucks, no, George. I took my girl for a walk down the old Ox Road.
Tripped over a pebble, didn't
you? Yes.
Lucky girl. Imagine walking down the old Ox Road with the old ox himself.
Well, I still can't believe that bashful Meredith is getting married.
Why don't we go over to Meredith's house and check up on this thing?
Well, yeah, let's go. By the way, Bill, if it's true, you'll be the only single one left.
Well, that suits me.
Now, Bill, wouldn't you like to settle down like George?
Not that far down, no.
Let's go and see Meredith.
Well, hi, folks.
Meredith, is it true? Are you going to get married?
Yep. I guess I am, all right.
Oh,
well,
no.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Now, Meredith, you're rather young and innocent, and I think it would be a good idea for a man who's wiser and more experienced to have a little talk with you.
Yes. Sit down, Meredith.
You too, George, and don't miss a word Bill says.
Well, Meredith, my boy, as soon as the wedding is over, get your bride away from the crowd.
Yeah, he's right. That's what George did.
Yes. Now, rush her to your car and drive straight to your honeymoon cottage.
That's what George did.
Pick her up in your arms and carry her across the threshold.
Go on, Bill.
Now, Meredith, there you are, the two of you alone in your little love nest, your beautiful bride in your arms.
Oh, boy. Do I put her down now?
Oh, certainly not. You carry her right through the living room, through the dining room, and into the kitchen.
The kitchen.
Where you make a nice big pot of Maxwell House coffee. Ah, what a perfect way to toast a happy marriage. After all, a happy marriage is the result of a perfect blend of personalities. Maxwell House, too, is the result of a perfect blend. That's why more people buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee in the world.
All right, Bill, we've had a cup of coffee. Now what?
Well, now...
Yeah?
You have another cup. Maxwell House is so delicious, almost everybody wants a second cup. It has more flavor. More flavor in the blend because of the choice Latin American coffees, which are skillfully combined in Maxwell House. And more flavor in the cup because of Radiant Roast, which uniformly develops the richness, mellowness, and full-bodied flavor of every coffee bean.
Okay, Bill. Now, we've had two cups of coffee. Now what?
Well, now...
The coffee pot is empty, Bill.
You better empty the jar, too, if you want to get out of the kitchen.
Okay. The coffee pot and the jar are empty. Now what?
Now, you walk over to your bride, put your arm around her, and whisper tenderly in her ear.
What do I whisper?
Well, you say, darling... Would you run down to the store and get another jar of Maxwell House?
That's what George did.
For sure, Gracie, because Maxwell House's coffee at its full-flavored best. Good to the last drop.
We know, Bill. There's nothing finer nor more friendly. But Meredith can't just sit there and drink coffee forever. His wife might divorce him.
She'd certainly have the grounds.
A wonderful husband. You and George have the same brilliant sense of humor.
Oh, well, thanks.
And now we all want to congratulate the lucky girl. Who is she?
Well, she's the girl who sells ribbon at the dime store. I've been in love with her for a year now.
Oh, what's her name?
I don't know.
You don't know her name?
Uh-uh. I've never gotten up nerve enough to ask her.
Well, how did you propose to her?
Well, I haven't yet. Every day I think I will. But when I get there, I lose my nerve and I just buy a yard of blue ribbon.
Oh, murder. You've been after the girl for a year, and what have you got to show for it?
I got 300 yards of blue ribbon.
Well, that's very handy. No married couple should be without it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Furniture they don't need.
Oh.
A house is nothing. But got to have at least a few hundred yards of blue ribbon.
Yeah. Oh, now, boy.
What a home without ribbon.
Yeah, it takes a heap of ribbon to make a house a home.
Oh. Now, stop making fun of Meredith.
Who knows, after a year, you may even have a little string running around the house.
Why, sure.
Now, boy,
stop
it.
Shall we listen as bashful Meredith Wilson, who doesn't know how to chase anything else, chases a few rainbows
in his own chiffon style. Meredith?
Bashful guys, but Meredith Wilson takes the cake.
He certainly does.
Imagine being in love with a girl for a year and not having a word to say.
Well, that was ridiculous. It's only after marriage that a man doesn't have a word to say.
How true.
You should say to yourself, I'm a wolf. I'm an irresistible wolf. Go on, try.
I'm a wolf. I'm an irresistible wolf.
Let's try something else.
Do women really like those bold fellows?
Oh, certainly. The rough, domineering Humphrey Bogart type of man. As a matter of fact, that's why I married you. No, that wasn't it.
Well, I could never be rough and domineering, you'll think.
But it's easy. Look, George is in the den. Let's pretend that he's Lauren Bacall.
Well, I thought you said this was easy.
It is. Now, I'm Humphrey Bogart, and he's Lauren Bacall. Now, watch this.
Hello, dear. Do you want something?
Well, I suppose all I got to do is whistle, huh, gorgeous?
Gorgeous?
Don't wave those long eyelashes at me, doll face.
Doll face?
Suppose you expect me to break out in goose pimples because you're sitting there in a sweater.
Gracie.
That may get other men, not me.
Other men? Honey, you'd better sit down.
Never mind that sofa routine.
Sofa routine? Look.
You dames are a dime a dozen. There you are, Meredith. Isn't that a simple technique?
Well, not for me. Gee, I couldn't talk that way to anybody.
Well, of course you could. What do you say when one of your musicians plays a sour note?
I say, I fear you've lost control of your instrument, sir.
Well, Meredith, I guess we better use another technique. Now, how about the strong, silent Gary Cooper type?
Women like them, too?
Oh, yes, as a matter of fact. That's why I married Joe. No, that wasn't it either. Well, listen, I'll show you how the Gary Cooper approach works.
Oh, it's you again, huh?
Yep.
Do you still think I look beautiful in a sweater?
Nope.
What's the matter with you? Why do you carry on that way?
Yep.
Yep? That doesn't make much sense, does it?
Nope.
What's with this yep or nope? Are you losing your mind?
Nope.
Could I be losing mine?
Yep.
This is the silliest thing I ever heard.
Could you make that a question?
Will you get out of here?
Yep.
Yep.
Well, Meredith, how about that technique?
It's no use, Gracie. I can't be Humphrey Bogart, and I can't be Gary Cooper. I'll just have to be Meredith Wilson.
No, we're not that desperate yet.
Well, I'm a musician, not a lover. I'll never get a girl, I guess. I might as well stick to my flute.
I think you'd have more fun with a girl.
Maybe we'd better forget it.
Wait a minute. Look, a girl usually wants a man that all the other girls are crazy about.
Well, I've noticed that.
Well, sure, as a matter of fact, that's why I married you. I'm just being silly. But anyway, that's true. And Meredith, I'm going to make you the most popular man in town.
Really?
Absolutely. When I'm finished, you and that girl behind the ribbon counter will make beautiful music together.
Together?
Hmm?
I'd better go get another flute.
Now, you'll be here for dinner at 6 o'clock and leave everything to me.
Oh, I sure will. Thanks a million, Gracie. Goodbye.
Oh, poor Meredith. George! Oh, George!
Now what?
Oh, come on, dear. We're going to the dime store and invite that girl behind the ribbon counter to dinner.
What for?
Well, I've got a plan that'll get her married to Meredith.
What is it?
Oh, darling, please. If I tell you my secret, you'll know how I hooked you.
You hooked me? Gracie, I took you out every night. I sent you candy, sent you orchids, and you think you hooked me?
You could have gotten it without all that. Don't you call that getting hooked?
Yeah, I was hooked. Let's go.
Well, there's the ribbon counter, but surely that's not Meredith's girl. She's too homely.
Oh, she is homely, all right. Maybe she has hidden charms.
That, well, she didn't have to hide them.
Well, if Meredith loves her and wants to marry her, that's enough for us. Oh, Miss.
Yes, did you want to buy some ribbon?
Well, no, there's enough ribbon in our neighborhood now. We'd like to invite you over for dinner tonight.
Me? For dinner? But you don't even know me.
Well, that's all right.
Oh, I see. You've got an odd man, huh?
Very. And you're just the girlfriend.
Here's the address, Miss
Hardwick. Flossie Hardwick.
Well, here's the address, and we'll expect you at 5:30.
Well, shall I dress?
Oh, yes, this man is very bashful. Well, see you tonight.
I can't understand how Meredith could want to marry that scarecrow.
Well, George, homely people are honest and kind and faithful. They make the best mate. As a matter of fact, that's why I married... Well, what do you know? I finally got it.
Gracie, you've been on that telephone for an hour now. What are you doing?
Arranging for Meredith Wilson to be the greatest lover in town.
You can do that on the telephone?
Sure. You see, I called the postman and Bill Goodwin, and I also called... Oh, there's Flossie. Now, you just follow my lead.
Here I am.
Come in, Flossie. Your date will be here in a few minutes.
Who is he?
Meredith Wilson. Handsome, magnetic Meredith Wilson.
I don't believe I've ever heard of him.
Never heard of Meredith Wilson, the great lover?
Is he really great?
Oh, he knows more about love than any policeman in Griffith Park.
Oh, you must be exaggerating.
Well, we'll see. Well, now, whoever could that be? Come in.
Oh, woe is me. Woe is me.
Why, Mr. Postman, what's the trouble?
My wife has left me for Meredith Wilson.
Oh, you poor man. But don't blame him. No woman can resist bedroom eyes, Wilson.
But he has stolen my wife.
Oh, what a horrible thing.
I know, but he stole her anyway.
Well, Flossie, you see?
Yeah, that sort of thing happens every day.
Every day, it happens every minute. Now, you see what I mean? Come in.
Where's Meredith Wilson?
I'll kill him. I'll murder him. I'll fracture
him. Why, Bill Goodwin, whatever could be the trouble?
He has stolen my fiancée, the girl I promised to marry.
Oh.
He can't go on like this. That's the fourth fiancée he's stolen from me this week.
Bill.
You've got to stop him. Please, Gracie, stop him. At this rate, I'll run out of fiancés in only two more weeks. Stop him. Stop him, do you hear? Stop him. Stop him.
Hey, Meredith Wilson stole his girl, too.
That's no trick for Meredith.
Oh, but Bill Goodwin is a movie star.
Meredith is more fascinating than any movie actor. He has more appeal than Ronald Coleman. And as for Charles Boyer, Meredith could spot him two gaslights in a Casbah.
You'll never convince me that he's a greater lover than Charles Boyer and Ronald Coleman.
We won't, huh? Come in.
I'm frightfully sorry to trouble you at this hour, Mrs. Byrne. But have you seen Meredith Wilson about?
Why, no. Is something wrong?
Wrong, you ask? My dear child, the cat has made off with the girl I treasured above rare jewels.
Meredith stole your girl?
Yes. I wouldn't be so put out if it were Herbert Marshall or Cary Grant. But the blighter isn't even British.
Him? Of all people, him? Why, I wouldn't have believed it possible.
Oh, you haven't seen anything yet. Come in.
Bonjour, madame, bonjour. Could you tell me where I might find Meredith Wilson?
Now, don't tell me he has stolen your girl.
Mais oui.
Oh, well, he's really picking on you British tonight, isn't he?
I am too plain, too unromantic to compete with this Meredith Wilson. I think I go back to Paris. Au revoir, madame.
Oh, I will. Goodbye. Are you convinced that Meredith is dynamite?
Oh, I'll say I am. Oh, but a guy like that would never look at me.
Now, that's where you're wrong. Meredith loves only you.
He loves me? Little plain me?
He loves you. Big plain you.
And he wants to marry you.
Oh, this is wonderful. All my life I've waited to...
Come in.
Well, is dinner ready?
Yes, and so is Flossie. Take him, Flossie. He's all yours.
Come here, bedroom eyes.
Hey, stop. Let go of me. You'll break my glasses.
Meredith, stop trying to get off her lap. This is your dream girl. I fixed it for you.
But I never saw her before in my life.
This is the girl behind the dime store ribbon counter.
Oh, I'm not the regular girl. I was just substituting there.
What?
So, come on, Dreamboat. Let's get married.
But I don't want to. No. No, now stop dragging me. Help.
Oh, I hope they'll be happy together.
You did a fine job.
Say, Bill.
Yes, Meredith.
You're always asking me questions about music. Now, tonight I'm going to ask you one.
Did you ever whistle this tune? Oh, sure. I know it's from Carmen, too.
Yeah?
I guess everybody knows that tune.
Oh, you're right in the groove there, Bill. Because it's said that of all the opera airs the man on the street is apt to whistle or sing, they're melodies from Carmen.
Really?
Yes, you see, Bizet composed musical themes so mellow, so rich, full-bodied and vigorous, that his opera Carmen is just naturally one of the world's most popular.
That's funny, isn't it?
Funny?
Well, yeah, it's odd how that fellow Bizet took his ideas right from Maxwell House Coffee.
What?
Well, if he didn't, he could have. Come on now, Meredith, and help me prove it. You play me those musical themes from Carmen, and I'll tell you about Maxwell House's fine Latin American coffees.
Okay, Bill, just give me a cue for the downbeat.
Well, now, Maxwell House experts choose Manizales for mellowness.
Like the habanera.
And Madeline's for richness.
That's Michaela's aria.
Other choice Latin American coffees for vigor.
Like the famous Overture.
Bucaramanga's for full body.
That'd be the Toreador.
So, like music you ask to hear again and again, Maxwell House is the coffee more people ask for again and again. It's so good to the last drop. Dear George and Gracie.
Oh, George, don't forget we're going to be on the Danny Kaye Show tomorrow night, and Bill and Meredith will be with us.
That's right, Gracie. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Join us again next week when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Meredith Wilson, his orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Goodwin. Until next Thursday, then, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's number one brand of coffee, always good to the last drop. The impersonations of Ronald Coleman and Charles Boyer on tonight's program were done by Paul Fries. Stay tuned to this station because Dinah Shore's open house is coming on in just a second. Dinah's special guest tonight is Jack Carson.
Oh, goody, goody, jello pudding tonight. It tastes like grandma's, only more so.
You ain't kidding. That's right.
And just as jello, six delicious locked-in flavors can't be beaten. So the proof of jello pudding's in the eating.
The Jell-O twins are hard to find, but keep on looking in your store. When sugar shortages are over, there'll be more.
Just the taste of Jell-O pudding or of Jell-O, and you know, it's the one and only J-E-L-L-O.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Go, Joe, go!
And just enough time to say I'm Greg Van Beek. Thank you for listening and hope you'll join me again next week. Until then, so long for now.